many of our decisions in life are based on how we perceive things. For instance, I was out at friends last night enjoying a lovely evening, and when I went to leave, I said to the host, "Well, it'll be interesting to see what it's doing outside, whether it's raining or whether it's warm or what's happening." And we opened the door and there was a blizzard. I had decided that it was spring. I was wearing my light jacket, my light boots, and I had clearly decided it was spring, and that was my perception. And so opening that door, I was a little surprised. As I drove home, it was beautiful, that gorgeous soft snow, and it was sticking to everything, and I was struck at how beautiful it was, and then alternately became despairing because it was March the 14th. Now, if it had been late November or early December, my perception would have been totally different. There is nothing I like better than the first snowfall, just like we had last night. Just, it was at the wrong time of year. And so last night when I got home, I decided, now what would I do if it was November or December? I would go to sleep with the blinds in my bedroom open, so I would see the glow of the lovely snow reflected into my room, and first thing tomorrow, I would wake up and see its beauty. So last night, I changed my perception, and I went to bed with the blinds open so I could be embraced by the beauty of the snow when I woke up this morning. It was a crisis moment because I had to make a decision about how I was going to see things. And because I made a decision and changed my perception, the whole world looked different because I was using a different lens. The word crisis comes from a Greek word which means to decide, or to discern, or to distinguish, or to judge, or to evaluate, not to freak out in despair. A crisis is a moment to discern which path you might take. A crisis is an opportunity to evaluate all the options you can identify and then judge which one you will take toward your goal. It can be pretty scary, a crisis. It can definitely be uncomfortable, usually uncertain, but are we powerless? Absolutely not. And crisis always happens in a very specific moment of time, in a specific place, with a specific worldview. Today's gospel that Ryan just read reflects a moment of crisis in the midst of the early life of the Christian community. Their perception of the world was quite different than ours. They were a small minority, and the Johannine community did not have the power or the influence to marginalize people or cause harm by excluding them. Whereas here in our Western world, where we live, Christianity has been the dominant religion for centuries. Whether the state has supported it or not, it has had the power to marginalize and exclude those who don't conform. In our hands, the Gospel of John can do serious harm, and it has over the years. So it's important that we step into the Gospel of John's time and place and lens when we interpret the text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In that world, it was not about exclusion, but rather about supporting those who were in a moment of crisis, a crisis where they were deciding to choose a new way of life. They were deciding whether to go with this new and creative worldview or to stay with the one they had. This passage's intention was to encourage people to join and to gain the light of God in a new way. A worldview in which the goodness of God's creation, the world and everything in it, was emphasized and is emphasized. A creation for which God was willing to give his son. Now, anyone who has been a parent at any time in their life knows the love that you have for your child, that it's so great that you would indeed sacrifice every single thing, including your own life, for that child of yours. Every one of us who has been a child, and I think that's all of us, at some point in our life probably recognizes the sacrifices our parents were prepared to make, and in some cases did make. The crisis comes in deciding on how to respond to the invitation that's offered in the gospel. A crisis, an opportunity to choose a life lived committed to justice, compassion, stewardship of all of God's good creation. Now, we can take it pretty seriously, and it can be all-consuming. For instance, if we jump into the whole thing about global warming and care for the earth, we can be overwhelmed almost by the amount that we could do. Or hunger and poverty and homelessness, and in the face of the abundance that most of us enjoy, can just be absolutely what we can throw ourselves towards. Or we can advocate for the peace and resolution of differences throughout the world. There is no lack of opportunity in our world, in this context, in our time. The last couple of weeks, Ryan's been doing some work for us. Well, he's been doing the work for some time. But he had the interesting opportunity, and perhaps a crisis, a bit scary at times, it would have been for me, to visit some of our neighbors. He went to 16 businesses on Elgin Street, and asked them what they knew about, two questions, what they knew about this church and what we might be able to do for them. Two businesses knew who we were. Two out of 16. And two had some interesting thoughts and asked Ryan and had a conversation with him about what they might do for us, what we might do for them. Two out of 16. Not a great ratio. Better than zero, not as good as 16. And so there's a perception. What is their perception? They didn't even have one. And the same token this week, Adrian, our chair of parish council, and I went to Algonquin College to meet with the students there who are working on a new logo for us as part of their course in advertising and a new brand for St. John's. And these delightful three young women met with us and all of their colleagues behind us, very excited about the new things they had come up with. They were so enthusiastic that it was a bit overwhelming, actually, that they had come to see the church one day and had a field trip to St. John's. They were intrigued the first time I was there wearing a collar, and they asked me all about the collar. In fact, their teacher wanted to know if I had a whole closet full of them and what they looked like and all sorts of interesting things. And they were just intrigued. And there we have it, don't we? Perception, worldview. They really didn't know anything about the church, just like the businesses on Elgin. And I was struck by how easy it was to tell them something, anything. And so they, in their enthusiasm, said, well, not only can we do something else for you? Adrian and I looked at each other with some delight and said, well, what is it? And they said, well, we heard that you like to do pub nights. I said, well, we've done a couple. And they said, we'd like to do a poster template for all the church activities that you're going to advertise in the community. Could we do one for you? And do you have any activities? Is there a pub night coming up? They were intrigued by this idea that something that was closed off to them and seemed religious and not of their world might relate. And Adrian said, well, actually, I'm planning an event, a communion wine tasting afternoon. And he is. And one of the girls said, my dad would go to that. Another other girl said, I know a sommelier. Would you like that person's name so they could come and help with the wine tasting? And in that moment, the difference between secular and church just disappeared. And as we left, Adrian said to me, I don't get it. Why are they so enthusiastic to help us? It's a bit strange. And I said, well, I think they're intrigued. I think they're intrigued that we are just like them. But we have something else that also informs our life. Perception, worldview. We can use John 3:16 as a club, like a club to beat people with and say, if you don't believe, you're condemned. Or we can read it and use it as, if you believe, those crisis moments have another choice in them. They have a choice of light and life. Maybe if we just left out the so is a troublesome word. This is the way God loved the world, with the result that he gave his only son in order that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not just about how much God so loved the world. It's also about the way in which God loves the world. Jesus' coming is like bringing a light into a dark space. We should know something about that. The contrast of light and dark is pretty intense and an amazing experience. And we have the opportunity to let the light in and to let the light out. That's what I learned this past week. Marty Hagen has a hymn, but in this place, new light is streaming. Now has the darkness vanished away. May our perception, our lens, and message not be saved or else, but rather, come and see. Come and see a message of hope and community filled with light and love and invitation. So may we open the blinds that we close when we're afraid of a crisis, when we're afraid of an opportunity, or we're not sure what it has for us. May we open those blinds and take in the beauty of God's creation and also let it live and move and have its being through us in our world, here and now. Amen.